for singing that song. They did a fantastic job. If you closed your eyes, you wouldn't know the difference between Faith Under Fire and Poison. They're that good. They sounded fantastic. You know, if Dave Whitescarver and I were standing side by side and you were just to take a look at us and judge us by our appearances and try to figure out if we had anything in common when it comes to style, you might say, nope, they've got nothing in common at all. And I'm just talking about style because obviously when it comes to faith and when it comes to values, we've got lots in common. But just looking at style, you might think, boy, those two have nothing in common at all. But I want to tell you, we both grew up in the same era. We both grew up in the 80s during the heyday of glamour rock, when glamour rock was in its heyday. And we both really like this band Poison, and we both really like that song, Something to Believe In. So, as Dave set it up for us so beautifully, I'm thrilled that he played it for us. I'm thrilled he was so open. I had no idea that he was wanting to do this or waiting to do this, but again, it was just a God thing. So if you're one of those 80s kids and you've been thinking to yourself, man, I would love to hear Something to Believe In, and I'd love to see that worked into a service and weaved into a sermon, today's your lucky day. That's exactly what we're doing. Dave's right, it's not a praise song, but it's a song that turns to God. And it's a song that gives us some real nice talking points when it comes to theology. At its most basic level, it is the cry of the human heart, the cry of our human spirit, the longing of our human spirit. Give us something to believe in. Are you there, God? I need you. I desperately need you. I need to know if someone is there, someone greater than myself, someone greater than my circumstances, somebody greater than what I'm going through and what I'm facing in life. Because when life overwhelms, we need to know there is something good out there, something greater than ourselves. So give me something. Give me anything. Give me something to believe in if there's a Lord above. Now, that is not a perfect statement of faith. Far from it. But it's an honest one. And it is a great starting point. And perhaps where all of us began, or perhaps where all of us need to begin. I need to believe in something. I need to place my hope in something, my faith in something, my trust in something. What can I believe in? Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. We hear this cry of the human heart echoed in our scripture this morning, the scripture that Jesse just read, Mark 9, 14 through 29. The passage is one of the healing stories in the Bible, not quite as familiar as some of the other healing stories in the Bible, partially because Mark kind of wedged it in there right after the Transfiguration story, partly because the story has a few bumps that need to be smoothed out, and partly because it takes a lot of setup to explain all that's going on in the story. But at the heart of the story is this basic cry of the human heart that I'm talking about. Lord, help me. Give me something to believe in. The father is crying out, needs healing for his son. The son's life was tormented by a demon, tormented since birth. What we probably would call today mental illness or emotional illness or something going on like that. Can Jesus heal? Can Jesus do anything for him? Absolutely yes. And Jesus answers with a resounding yes. And Mark's gospel ends with a resounding yes. For Mark's gospel, faith was essential. Faith is essential. And lack of faith can be paralyzing. Lack of faith can be debilitating in this world. Believe. Trust. Hope. The Father wanted to believe. He wanted to trust. I believe. Help my unbelief. That's exactly what he's saying. You hear the struggle. You hear the paradox. You hear the contrast. I believe, yet I doubt. I believe, yet I'm struggling. I want to believe, Lord, help me. It is the cry for help. Several band members from Poison worked on this song, but it's primarily Brent Michaels' song. He was the lead singer in Poison. Primarily his song and primarily his story, some things that had happened throughout his life. Four verses, as you heard Faith Under Fire sing, each one offering a challenge to faith. First verse being a critique of the scandals that rocked, no pun intended, that rocked the TV evangelists in the 1980s. I see him on the TV preaching about the promised land, tells me to believe in Jesus, but steals the money from my hand. You know, generally speaking, church scandals are what happens when Christians do the wrong thing, when Christians act badly. Their actions can't be defended or can't be justified. Sometimes good people do bad things. Sometimes people turn bad. Sometimes they're corrupted. Sometimes they were never the real deal in the first place, never Christian perhaps in the first place. We wish it wasn't so. It's just the world in which we live. But knowing this about human nature can help us bridge that gap, can help us understand, can help us weather these internal storms. Having a mature faith can help us weather these internal storms. Placing your faith and trust in a perfect God and a perfect Christ, not in people, not in institutions that are terribly flawed and imperfect, as we know, all this can help. God alone is perfect. God alone is steadfast. God alone is trustworthy. God's love never fails us. The rest of us are just muddling through, trying to overcome this human condition in life, trying to overcome our human nature, sometimes faithfully, sometimes not. But all of us have fallen short. All humanity has fallen short. All of us stand in need of God's grace. And forgiveness is also a sign of maturity of faith. So all these things work together to help us overcome when God's faithful are unfaithful, when God's holy family breaks covenant with God's holy laws. Second verse was about a Vietnam vet wounded in the war. Brett wrote this about his uncle, Bob. Not only did he face horrors overseas, he was wounded in the war, and then when he came home, he felt like he was unloved, he felt like he was rejected, as many Vietnam veterans did. It was a rough time in our country. Things were tense, there was division, there was fighting, there was turmoil. At that time, 40, 50, 60 years ago, we did not know a lot about PTSD. We know a lot more now. Veterans of war don't just need physical healing. They need mental healing. They need emotional healing. They need spiritual healing. And that spiritual need for healing is evident in the song with the line, "Forgive me for what I've done there, for I never meant the things I did." Haunting words. I wonder how many people are haunted by their past. How many people are haunted by a need for forgiveness that they feel they just can't attain. Psychotherapist once said that if he could convince all of his patients that they were forgiven for something in their past, something that they had done years ago, 75% of them, he said, could just get up and walk out of the hospital right there and then. That's all it would take. Feeling like you're forgiven, feeling like you're loved. Brett's uncle was haunted by his past, spiritually broken. And in that spiritual brokenness, there is spiritual healing. God offers forgiveness. We're to forgive others, of course, but we're also to forgive ourselves and allow God to forgive us. Allow God to forgive you. Don't stand in the way of what God does. That's what God does. God forgives. God wants to forgive you. Don't stop God from doing what God wants to do. The third verse I'm passing over just briefly, but Brett wrote it about a friend of his who died way too young from an overdose. And it impacted him deeply, even though he knew that his friend's lifestyle contributed to his early death. He just couldn't get over the severity of it. Didn't feel like the punishment fit the crime, and it didn't. It doesn't always. Life isn't always fair. And quite frankly, sometimes more often than not, it's not. The last verse, the song is equally somber. A homeless man sleeping out on a cold, dark street underneath an old neon sign that used to read, "Jesus saves." As if to say, the message is as broken as the sign. The message used to work, but now it's old and faded and doesn't work anymore. Jesus used to save. Can Jesus save anymore? Will Jesus save anymore? What would the gospel say? Absolutely. We believe, Lord. Help us in our unbelief. Brett goes on and he's wrestling philosophically with this unequal distribution of wealth in the country. Why do so many lose and so few win? If money is winning and poverty is losing, then there are more losers than winners. Poverty isn't always losing. Money isn't always winning. But there is a level of poverty which is no blessing at all. It's just pain. It's just suffering. It's just misery. Brett put the question, he didn't name the faithful, but I take it as a question to the faithful. What are you doing about it? Fair question. I could give him a list of everything that we do in the church to serve this community, everything we do in the church to alleviate the problem of poverty, everything we do in this church to try to fix that horrible, uneven distribution of wealth. But I might also like to pose the question, right back to Brett, what are you doing about it? Last I checked, he was still in the Hollywood elite. Last I checked, he was still worth a staggering amount of money, not as much as some Hollywood stars, but still staggering for you and me. Hold us accountable, Brett, and we will hold you accountable too. Here's something kind of interesting. Brett Michaels had something to believe in tattooed on his arm, wrapped around the cross, telling me that this song really did make an impact on him. And this whole searching for God really made an impact on him. But ironically and unfortunately, the tattoo artist had been drinking that night. He was drunk and he spelled believe wrong on his arm. Isn't that a bummer? Brett later tried to have it fixed, but never to his satisfaction. It's ironic because it tells us in our search for truth, in our search for God, there are right paths and there are wrong paths. And where are we searching? What is that path that we're taking? And I like tattoos, but I can tell you, when you're searching for God, drunken tattoo artist in the middle of the night is not going to get you there. It's just not. It's not going to help you find those deepest theological questions in this world. On the other hand, being part of a faithful community is a loving Christian community. Not because we're perfect. Not because we never do anything wrong. Not because we never sin. We do. We fail. We sin. We do things wrong. But we hold one another accountable and we strive toward perfection. Strive. We're trying. And because in this broken community of faith, God has promised to be with us and remain with us in all of our ups and downs and remain with us when we're good and remain with us when we're bad. God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is with us wherever we go. And in this sacred time and space, people's lives are changed. Hearts are transformed. Lives are transformed. And darkness and death and sin give way to light and life and goodness. If you're looking for something to believe in, you'll find it here. And if you're looking for some place in which you can put your full hope and trust and faith and love, look no further. It's all around you in this place. So be it.